This is an iHeart podcast.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Ooh, it's going to be a rambunctious one too. Biden spoke today, by the way. There is just a quick heads up in case you don't know. You've seen stand-up comedians, right? Stand-up comedians, you'll see a television special of them. Remember, you go out and you go see one in person. Ah, ha, ha, that was funny. Well, what you're watching, the list of jokes, I know you already know this, but it's called a set list. They have a set list. Well, how do they come up with that? Initially, when they're doing all the writing and coming up with the jokes, it's a lot longer. And then what they'll do, they'll find tiny little venues, the venues that are real small, and they'll go do a set. They'll go do a comedy set in that venue, and they're testing jokes. That's what they're doing. You're the test subjects. When you're writing a joke, you don't know what's going to land and what's not going to land. It's actually one of the odd things about doing radio. There's no audience in the studio. So if you crack a joke, everyone might be in tears laughing. Everyone might think, oh, that was stupid. You have no idea. I don't know you ever laugh at anything I say unless you email me and tell me to. I have no idea, right? But anyway, so they're testing material with that test audience, and they'll do a few of these, and then they come up with a set list from there. You take your best jokes, your jokes that did the best, and boom, that's your set list, and then you go to city after city after city after city doing the same set. They don't change their sets from city to city. If you were to follow a comedian around, I used to Nashville tonight and then Chicago tomorrow, you'd hear all the same jokes, all the same ones. That's how it works. Joe Biden has done that with his 30-year career. Only Joe Biden, during the initial phase, he forgot that he was supposed to take the good jokes and leave the bad jokes. And apparently he left all the good jokes and he took all the bad jokes that bombed and he made those his set list. He got up, gave a speech again today, and he said this line that he says so often when he sees there is a crowd and there's bleachers that are elevated. He says this every time.
Fair. Hey, everybody. Don't jump.
Don't jump. And it always goes over just like that, too. There's never a laugh except for him. So, again, he forgot he's supposed to wait for the laughs, but he has this one set list of things he says, and it's all the worst jokes ever. It's hilarious. All right. Let's offend some people. Dr. Jesse, I've heard that half of Christians are registered to vote, but half of those, half are not. I don't get it. If that's true, why won't they vote? Well, because American Christianity, America's version of Christianity, in many ways, is steaming hot garbage. That's why. And American Christianity got that way because American Christians don't have any idea how good they've had it. Now, they're about to find out, but they don't have any idea how good they've had it because we are a country that was founded by Christians. We have a Christian base in the country. That's what we're founded on. Remember, the founders told the states to make churches. All right. There's no separation of church and state. That's a lie. It's not anywhere. That's the country we are. Because of that, America has been an absurdly safe place to be a Christian. Oddly safe. You realize, if you go read, Chris, you'd have to read the New Testament to figure this out. But if you go read the Bible, they're all getting their heads cut off or burnt alive or something freaking horrible. John, who wrote Revelation, was boiled in oil and didn't die. Ow. And even today, across the country, you'll look at places like Egypt. Christians, 10 Christians murdered on the way to church. Christianity, for its history, and throughout the planet, many places today, Christianity, it is... You are in danger if you were a practicing Christian. The culture around you hates you, is foreign to you, and they want you to die or convert. That makes for Christians who are a bit harder because situations are harder. Right now, as you listen to the sound of my voice freely, there's a Bible study happening in a basement in China, and if they get discovered, somebody's getting their fingernails pulled out. Did you know that? You've never had to experience that in your life. I haven't either. American Christianity, though, has never had that. We've never had it. We've had a culture that has very much reflected our values for the longest time. Now, it's not some perfect culture, right? But Christians aren't perfect either, furthest thing from it. But we've had a culture that reflected our values, and we've never been oppressed for being a Christian. If you walked around, and maybe you're walking around right now with a cross around your neck, a cross necklace, not once will somebody look at that. Ha ha ha. Look at this. Hey, look at this stupid Christian. It's just, you're in a place where it's safe to be that. Because of that, it has made Christianity in America fat and weak. That's what it's made it. Fat, weak, and complacent. And so what we have now, here's what we should have. What we should have right now with the churches in this country, every denomination, I don't care. And by the way, I'm including the Jews in this too, Chris. I don't think you're getting out of this. But every church in the country and the Jews, they should be an army of voters. Especially now when the stated platform of every national Democrat, the stated platform is the murder of any child up to the moment of birth. And if the abortion fails, you are to leave the baby on a steel tray to die of exposure. That is the stated position of every Democrat in the country. The stated position of every Democrat in the country is your teenage daughter or teenage son should be able to go have his genitals chopped off behind your back and without your permission. That is the stated policy of every Democrat in the country. That alone should have turned every church in America and synagogue into a voting army. You understand that your pastor at your church, he should be leading the entire congregation to the polls on November 8th, and while there, telling them how to vote. But even that, maybe that made you uncomfortable. No, Jesse, I don't want him to get involved in politics. Okay. Enjoy living in Sodom and Gomorrah, because you do. You understand that Christians have the numbers, right? That if Christians would wake up and lay down that turn-the-other-cheek pathetic crap they've relied on forever and actually went out and fought for their children and their wives, that we could actually preserve something in this culture? Turn the other cheek. King David went out and cut off 200 Philistine foreskins. And you know what he was called? The man after God's own heart. Take your turn the other cheek crap and shove it. Go start fighting. Fight for your kids, your grandkids, your wife. You take that, and don't you ever say that verse to me ever again. Not that there's anything wrong with the verse itself. It's the only one American Christians even know. Apparently, the American Christian Bible is just that one verse. Turn the other cheek, guys. Garbage. The American church should be a mobilized army right now. Given the evil of the left, should be a mobilized army. But they're not. Half of them don't even vote. I'll pray. You know, I think I'll just pray about it. Just going to do some praying. That family right now huddled in a Chinese basement doing a Bible study. If there was an election tomorrow, let's just say hypothetically, if there was a free election tomorrow and one of the candidates was, you know, the communists who've been oppressing them and the other candidate promised that Christianity would be practiced freely in the country. In fact, Christianity would be adopted as China's national religion. Do you think that family would go out of that basement and go vote? Or would they turn the other cheek? We have a fat, soft, weak, pathetic Christianity in this country, and it's dooming us. Your pastor should be the leader on telling you how to vote. When I come on here Monday through Friday night and I tell you this guy sucks, vote for this guy sucks, it should be old news for you. You should have heard it in the pews on Sunday. You should have. But even that probably makes you uncomfortable. I'll keep the politics out of church. Really? Have the Black Liberation Theology churches, have they kept it out of church? They've been telling their people how to vote for years, and their people have been doing it. who's winning the culture war.
That's why.
I told you it was going to get offensive. If you're offended, I don't care, by the way. You can email me and let me know. It still doesn't matter to me. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I am correct. Now, let's talk about helping widows and orphans. Speaking of your wives and your children, we do forget. I include myself in this. We do forget far too often about the widows of first responders. You know, you'll wake up one day and you'll see, oh no, a cop got ambushed. She got killed. Dang it. And you'll be sad. Maybe you even give $5 to a give, send, go or something. But we forget. We move on. You know who doesn't forget? The widow. The children who never get to see their father again. I love Tunnel to Towers because Tunnel to Towers not only doesn't forget, they make sure I don't forget. They take those first responder widows and they pay off their mortgages. They take those first responder widows and they're building them an entire village just for them in Florida so they can come together and heal and have a new life. They ask you and me for $11 a month. Go to T2T.org and sign up to give $11 a month. T2T.org. We'll be back.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
In the fields of bodies burning.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. You know who Ozzy Osbourne reminds me of when he sings? Me. What, Chris? You don't know what it's like being a front man, all right? Being a lead singer of a band, it's just unique, Chris. It's not something you would understand anything about. It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and I'm behind on the emails, so let's get to them. Hey, Jesse, you old grunt, 26-year squid retired. Now, small vintner. Vintner? Chris, what's a vintner? He curates wine, so he's a winemaker. What, is curating wine not making wine? I don't know anything about wine. Are they two different things? He's in charge of the... Okay, so he makes wine. He's in charge of the winery. Well, I feel like people intentionally try to make me feel stupid. I don't know what these things are. I went to community college. I'm white trash, okay? I've never made wine, all right? No, Chris, I've never made wine. Gosh. Anyway, guy says, my son is an Army Ranger. Daughter works in defense acquisition. The wife works for a military association. National security is a family thing. Since retiring in March, I found more time on my hands, so on and so forth. And then he goes into trying to get involved locally and kind of getting the stiff arm. Well, let me tell you something. And please hear me on this because I almost guarantee it's the same thing in your area. Remember, I just told you the story about running for office earlier in the show and how I ran for Congress. You know what my first stop was when I wanted to run for Congress? Because where would you go? I don't know how to run for Congress. Like, is there a form I have to fill out? I had no idea. So where did I go first? I went down to the local Republican office. Your county has a local office. Maybe your city too, but you have a local Republican office somewhere where you are. And I went down into the local Republican office, and there I am. I storm in the door. I said, hey, I'm running for Congress. And there were two or three people in there. They're like, oh, okay. Okay, well, can you help me? I mean, where do I go? Do I fill out a form? Or is there a campaign manager I can maybe hire? What do I do to run for office? Oh, I don't know. Maybe, hey, can you take down his number? Let's ask Carol. Carol should be back from vacation next week. She'll call. Your local GOP almost undoubtedly sucks. That's fine. Again, we don't worship politics like the communists do. That's all they do. What I'm telling you is this. If you're going to run for office, it's on you. You will figure it out as you go. You'll figure out the people who should be with you. You'll figure out your message. You'll figure out where you're going. Don't think that there's some team geared up and ready to go waiting for you to volunteer and help. There isn't. However, that's the bad news. However, the good news is this. The Democrats have that team, keep in mind. That's why they own your local city. Yes, even your red city, I guarantee they own your school board. If they're not in every school board seat, I bet you they have the majority. I bet you they own your city council. The good news is this. They are used to facing weapons-grade losers always. Or usually, they're used to facing nobody. You understand these communists run for school board unopposed all the time now? And now people are motivated. And people are getting involved. And what we have, you know how I just went off about American Christians being soft? American communists are soft, especially at a local level, because they've never had to take on significant opposition at a local level at all. You watch, you're going to run for your local school board, your local city council, and your opponent is going to be just mortified somebody even got in the race, let alone someone who's saying bad things about me. You, because you've been hardened by these people, you're ready to go. They've been softened. Years and years of getting fat and weak and fat and weak, and now they're just a big fat cow out there on the prairie, just ready for you to go pounce. Legal and local. Keep it going, all right? Don't be disheartened if there's no one there to help, because most of your local people are idiots too. You know who's smart? You. Go figure it out and get it done. Dear part-time radio host, I've been thinking about your commentary in regard to the amazing governor of California parading around the White House with paint swatches, tape measures, and a stud finder. Can you explain how he could weasel his way into the Oval Office sidestepping dome? Is there a precedent for this? Feels like we are in uncharted territory. Yes, we'll go over this Gavin Newsom thing here in a moment. And don't think, yeah, see, I'm not in California. I don't care. Believe me, you need to care about who Gavin Newsom is. Believe me, you do. Give me a second. Before I get to that, let's get to this. Let's get to getting older. You know, there's all these warnings about getting older when you're young, you know, about how you get tired and how this happens or that happens and it takes longer to heal. And let me tell you, a lot of those things are true. But I will tell you, a robust maintenance of your testosterone levels sure mitigate a lot of those things, fellas. A lot of them. I'm getting emails from 60-year-old men telling me they're working 12-hour days and don't even need to rest when they get home. That's the difference chalk can make in your life. Ladies, same thing for you. There's a female vitality stack. There's a male vitality stack. And now there's a subscription model. I'm so glad they did this because I kept forgetting to order more. And I wouldn't know I needed to order more until I went and got the bottles and they were empty. Right now. Go to choq.com. Promo code Jesse gets you 35% off the lifetime of the subscription. So they're not going to jack you up tomorrow or something like that. choq.com, promo code Jesse. I should let you know this is a limited time thing. So if it's your thing, sign up. All right? Now, Gavin Newsom. Let's get one thing out of the way first. Gavin Newsom is going to be more popular than you think he is. Don't yell at me or say, Jesse, you're an idiot. Just hear me out. Hear me out. There's a difference between who you and I like and who will be popular with the public. I'll explain in just a moment. We're caught up around the bend. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. All right, just to recap, the question was about Newsom. And I brought up that Gavin Newsom, I brought this up in earlier shows, Gavin Newsom went to Washington, D.C. and started meeting with White House staffers when Joe Biden left town. Wow, that's awkward. Hi, honey. I'm glad to be home. Why'd the personal trainer come to the house? That's a little awkward, right? So what's going on there? Well, you have to understand a couple things when it comes to the Gavin Newsom dome Joe Biden thing. Dome and Joe Biden hate each other. Hate. This has been confirmed staffer after staffer after staffer has leaked this. They genuinely despise each other. Joe Biden picked Kamala Harris because Joe Biden is not in control of his mouth. And he got up to a microphone one day because this is what Democrats do. And he went looking for how many of the various victim groups he could appeal to. And he said, I'm going to pick a woman, a black woman. Okay, well, now you got like two choices. So he ended up with Dome. But Dome, remember this, she's a very ambitious human being. It's part of the reason she conducted herself the way she did to get her political start. This is one of those people, you probably met people like this in your life, they're just terrible to everyone because of their ambition. You have people like that at your work. I know you do. Everyone does. Well, Dome, well, she jumped in the race, jumped in the presidential race, and initially they fell in love with her, right? Oh, my goodness, look, it's a black woman. So the media fell all over, but she's just awful. There's no way around it. No, just no personality, no charisma, awful. Biden still chose her after Kamala Harris called him a racist during the debates. Remember, that's the go-to Democrat insult, so they use that with each other, too. She essentially called him a Jim Crow guy. Well, Jill Biden hated her after that. The sides, they hate each other. So, Dome, who was going to be the heir apparent if she was popular, is now even more unpopular than Joe, which is very, very difficult. Which brings us to Gavin Newsom. Gavin Newsom is, now I hate him, okay? But I hate Barack Obama too, while still able to acknowledge he's a wildly charismatic guy and he was really, really good at politics. So much of what you see right now is because Barack Obama filled up the entire administrative state with committed communists. That's why Joe Biden gets the luxury of doing what he does right now. Gavin Newsom is dangerous. Jesse, no, he sucks. Stop. Stop. That's how children talk. I know he sucks. I don't need to be lectured that he sucks. I hate him as much as you hate him. I know he sucks. I'm not talking about you. I'm not worried about you. You're fine. I'm worried about your idiot neighbor who barely watches and barely pays attention. I'll tell you what, who I'm worried about? My idiot neighbor. I have an idiot neighbor, and he has an idiot wife. And get this, this is what I mean. We were having a conversation the other night about the upcoming Republican primary, and I gave him my theory. I've told you a million times. I think Heavy D and Trump are going to run against each other anyway, and I think they should. I think they should run against each other and beat each other up, and may the best man win, and then we'll all win. Whatever. But I was having that conversation with him the other night, and he said, man, Trump can't run again. I said, why not? I'm telling you what, I'm not sure if I'm going to vote for him. And I'm telling you right now, my wife, she was sitting right there. She won't vote for him again. Now, these are, quote, Republicans. And I said, okay, even if you hate Donald Trump, so you're telling me if Trump wins the nomination and he's the Republican nominee, you're going to go vote for Joe Biden? Yeah, she won't vote for Trump. I know you're mad right now. But you have to understand how many of those people exist out there. That's why I bring up Gavin Newsom. You think to yourself, because you know the issues, you think to yourself, he's a crazy communist piece of trash. He's wrecked this state. He's done all that. That's how I think too, right? But remember, you don't win elections. I don't win elections. We should. It should just be up to us. It's not. The low-info loser neighbor of yours who didn't like Trump's tweets, he's the one who wins and loses elections. Gavin Newsom is a young, especially compared to what we have now, a young, good-looking California dude, slicked back hair. Do you think that suburban mom in my neighborhood who thinks Trump's a meanie McMean face, do you think she'll like what Gavin Newsom puts out there? Hey, what's going on, America? Anyway, let me grab my hair gel real quick. It's me, Gavin, just being good looking. Got a solar panel for you. How's that sound? Anyway, vote for Gavin. How hard do you think it's going to be to convince that woman to vote for him? She's voting for him. She is. Be more afraid of Gavin Newsom than you are. And he has a gigantic war chest because California has such, people don't understand how much money California has, how wealthy it is. This used to be the case. I think it still is. If not, it's very close. It used to be the case that if California broke off from America and became its own country, which sounds awesome, but if it broke off from America and became its own country, it would be the fifth largest economy in the world. It's still true, Chris? Okay, it's still true. Yeah. It's a juggernaut. So if you're running for office there and you manage to lock down the California donor money, you already have a huge leg up on, you know, some senator from Vermont who's trying to raise enough money to run for president. I actually wasn't meaning to take a shot at Bernie there, but that's still funny. Dear Oracle, since you were the Oracle of all things, I figure there isn't any area of your life where you wouldn't be the world's foremost expert. That's correct, Chris. What, Chris? I think he's right about that. Anyway, I'm a 41-year-old fella that loves the Lord in this country. I have a great profession in the medical field and have an almost symmetrical face. He said, I mean, no one can touch yours. I love the outdoors. I can cook nearly anything except that kosher stuff Chris eats. And more importantly, I believe every last word of the Bible. Every word, Chris, not just the Old Testament. Anyway, I find it increasingly hard to meet dimes who share the same love, even in a red state of Texas. Have any tips or leads or on some available dimes? P.S., he says, why do the vast majority of broads these days have zero idea how to cook or want to? Thanks and God bless. His name is Joel. Joel, first, let's address the last question first. Why don't women want to cook today? Well, for the same reason so many men are a bunch of pathetic weaklings these days. We don't raise men and women now to be men and women. Instead, we do this American, you can be anything you want to be. You know what I tell my sons? You know what I tell my sons? You better get yourself a good job so you can provide a good life for your wife one day. And so you can provide food and shelter for your children. What if I want to backpack through Europe? Backpack through Europe? Shut up, hippie. Go get a freaking job. All right? You have an obligation as a man to provide for your woman, to love her and provide for her and protect her. Ladies, you have an obligation to care for and support your husband. But we don't tell people that way. We don't tell people that these days. We tell, well, you can be anything you want. You know what? You need a career. Don't let that man hold you back. And soon she's 40 and can't make Kraft Mac, and she can't seem to find a man. Men, ladies, you get what you put into it, like anything else. As for where you're going to find a dime as a 41-year-old in the state of Texas, brother, I know it's obvious. You need to go church shopping. Don't think it's bad you're looking for dimes at church. When's the last time you've been to church, Chris? I know it's probably been a while for you. Chicks are smoking hot in church, and she's going to share at least some of your values out there. The fact that she's in church alone means she shares your values. Church is where you're going to find your dime. Ladies, not just church. If I was a lady looking for a dude these days, I'd go to the gun range. Go get yourself some lessons. Oh, he was so nice to me. Yeah, I'm sure he was, lady. All right, speaking of which, let's go to Israel together. Next July. We're going to Israel. July 17th to the 23rd, the Jesse Kelly Show family is going to Israel, even Chris. We don't have word on whether or not he's going to go to synagogue over there. It'll be fine, whatever. He'll have to miss that day. But we're all going to tour the Holy Land together. If you want to join, you can. You have to go to ChristianExpedition.com/Jesse. That's ChristianExpedition.com/Jesse. Or you can call 877-234-3002. We're going to spend 10 days nerding out on all the history in the Holy Land. It's going to be fun. Yes, I'm going to be there. So is the fam. Sadly, so is Chris. ChristianExpedition.com/Jesse.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Don't worry. We'll be right back here Monday. As long as I don't get food poisoning again this way. Oh, quit. Quit. Don't yell anymore. As long as I don't get food poisoning, we'll be back here Monday. Monday's Medal of Honor Monday. We missed last week. So we only have a short time left together. Let's get to some more questions. My man Lurch. That's not nice. As I saw people turn against AOC, I wonder what will happen when Antifa finds out that they've been getting screwed over as well. Well, we've talked about this before. That is, in the end, the wonderful thing. The Antifas of the world, the BLMs of the world, the climate change nutters gluing themselves to the roads, all these people, they all think, in the end, that they're going to have some of the power. They all think they're going to have a seat at the table. Let's go back to our good friend, KGB defector Yuri Bezmenov, who lays it out pretty well how it's going to end for them.
Same thing was done under the guidance of the Soviet embassy in Hanoi, and same thing I was doing in New Delhi. To my horror, I discovered that in the files where people were doomed to execution, there were names of pro-Soviet journalists with whom I was personally friendly.
Pro-Soviet?
Yes. They were idealistically minded leftists who made several visits to USSR. And yet, the KGB decided that come revolution or drastic changes in political structure of India, they will have to go.
Why is that?
Because they know too much. Simply because, you see, the useful idiots, the leftists who are idealistically believing in the beauty of Soviet socialist or communist or whatever system, when they get disillusioned, they become the worst enemies. That's why my KGB instructors specifically made the point, never bother with leftists. Forget about these political prostitutes. Aim higher. This was my instruction. Try to get into large circulation, established conservative media, rich, filthy rich movie makers, intellectuals, so-called academic circles, cynical, egocentric people who can look into your eyes with angelic expression and tell you a lie. These are the most recruitable people, people who lack moral principles, who are either too greedy or too suffer from self-importance. They feel that they matter a lot. These are the people who KGB wanted very much to recruit.
But to eliminate the others, to execute the others, don't they serve some purpose? Wouldn't they be the ones they rely on?
They serve purpose only at the stage of destabilization of a nation. For example, your left...
Pay attention here. They serve a purpose only to destabilize. All the BLM, Antifa animals burning down cities, climate change nutters gluing themselves to things... The LGBTQ demon mob out there disrupting families, breaking things up. This is who they are. He's about to describe them. This is who they are, and this is how it ends for all of them.
In the United States, all these professors and all these beautiful civil rights defenders, they are instrumental in the process of the subversion only to destabilize the nation. When their job is completed, They are not needed anymore. They know too much. Some of them, when they get disillusioned, when they see that Marxist-Leninists has come to power, obviously they get offended. They think that they will come to power. That will never happen, of course. They will be lined up against the wall and shot.
The Antifas of the world, as soon as the revolution that they're doing in our country, as soon as it's complete, as soon as it's reached its final form. It hasn't yet. It's well along the way, but as soon as it's reached its final form, that FBI who's been covering for Antifa, ooh boy, they're not going to be covering for them in the end. They'll be kicking in doors and bashing in skulls and all that street activism that is encouraged now, all that communist street activism, you watch, it'll all pop, vanish, just like a fart in the wind. Now, let's talk about something really quickly here. Let's talk about your health. Let's talk about the fact that our medical institutions suck. Remember, you know how I told you my son hurt himself the other day? He was working out in the gym, fell out. It's a long story. Banged up his arm. Had to take him to the doctor. At the doctor's office. Not even kidding. At the doctor's office for a broken arm. And the doctor says, has he got his COVID vaccine yet? No. All right, should we get him one? No, I actually really don't want him to have a heart attack. And why are you talking to me about a COVID vaccine when I'm here for a broken arm? Our medical institutions suck. They're wretched in this country. We have to take better care of our health on our own. Go to Chalk. go to choq.com, chalk. What you're going to find there is a male vitality stack that'll keep you out of the freaking doctor's office, keep you young, vital, keep your testosterone levels high. Ladies, same thing, female vitality stack. Get a subscription to chalk, choq.com. I like the subscription because you don't have to remember to order again. Promo code Jesse gets you 35% off. choq.com, promo Jesse. Shogun Oracle J. Steele III. Food poisoning is the worst. I've had it twice. It seems attending a potluck Halloween party can have deleterious consequences. My sincere empathy. However, you reminded me of my first experience with the Jesse Kelly Show. It's been some time now, but for your new listeners, could you please retell the story of dysentery? The heroic tale of clinching in a foreign land. I've been hooked on the Jesse Kelly Show ever since. It's from Wesley. I don't want to tell that story again. I don't know. You know what? I'm such a kind-hearted, gentle person that I don't know why you all love my pain. You all seem to love the fact that you can hurt me. I don't understand it. Maybe I'll tell the dysentery story on Monday. Maybe I won't. Maybe you don't deserve it anymore just because you want to see me hurt. Dear Symmetrico Queso, question. When you were hobnobbing with Clay and Buck, did y'all hug hello and goodbye? If so, why? If not, why not? At your height, is there much patting on the back? All right. I'm all down. I'm a hugger. I'm all down with hugs. I don't remember if I hugged Clay and Buck, but I would. I would hug. Yeah, it's probably a depending on how close you are type thing. But I hug. I hug dudes. I hug chicks. I hug everything. I know sometimes with the chicks, you got to be careful out there, fellas. You got to give them the old side hug. Ah, how are you? Sometimes, you know, it's your sister. You got to just go full bear hug or something like that. Or if you're Joe Biden and she's 9. But either way, you get what, Chris? It's fine. We can make jokes. But no, I'm a hugger. I'm all down for hugging. When we hang out in Israel, if you want to hug, we can hug. Now, don't make it weird. Don't put your hand on my butt and don't think we're going to hug all the time. But I'm fine with hugging. Look, I'm a world-class hugger, Chris, because my arms... What? Chris, I'm one of the best. My arms are so long. I'll have you wrapped up like a cocoon, baby. Wait, that, you know what? It just got awkward. I'm leaving. That's all. Take it
easy. This is an iHeart podcast.